Open your Bibles to John chapter 16, lesson number 5, our faith in the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you, and please make use of that this evening. We are studying for the faith. We've learned about the importance of our faith, and we've learned about our faith in God's Word, our faith in God the Father, our faith in God's Son, and tonight we come to a study of the Holy Spirit of God. I remember years ago, my pastor, Brother Steve Spires, preaching a message entitled The Forgotten Member of the Trinity, and just preaching about the Holy Spirit. And the reality is there's a lot of false teaching about the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of things that are said about Him that aren't accurate. And we have tried to, as Bible-believing Baptists, distance ourselves from those false teachings, I believe to the point we've gone too far. We have completely abandoned the Holy Spirit, and He is vital for us, not just in our salvation, but in our day-to-day lives. We desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible instructs us to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit, and so many truths about Him that are so vital for us in our daily lives. We don't want to forget about Him. We need Him today. And the text this evening is going to show us just how important the Holy Spirit is. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14 is where we'll take our text. And you'll find a place at the top of your page to write one of these verses down in its entirety so that it'll help you to remember that. But let's stand again if you're able. We stand to honor the Word of God. And I know sometimes you feel like you're in, I don't know, gym class or something when I'm up here. Stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. But we want to honor God's Word, so we stand for that purpose. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is expedient for you. That means it's better. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come and study Your Word tonight, to sing Your praises. I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would move in our services tonight. Lord, that You would convict our hearts of sin in our lives. Lord, that You would challenge us and teach us the ways that we need to change and to be more like You, Lord, that You would just work in our hearts tonight. I especially pray that if there is a man or a woman in this class, or if there is a boy or a girl in any of the other classes tonight who is at that age where they know the difference between good and evil, and they know that they need to be saved, I pray tonight they would realize their need for a Savior. They would repent of their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and call on You in prayer to receive that free gift of eternal life that we can only have through Jesus, who died for us and rose again. Please bless this service. Help me now. And may You just work in our lives, not only tonight, but every day through Your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to imagine just for a little bit what it would have been like to be one of Jesus's disciples, one of those close followers of Christ. I mean, just imagine for a second, you maybe were in town one day when you heard Jesus preaching and you were amazed by the wisdom that He had, and you were amazed by the words that He spoke. You were amazed by that, and then you saw Him perhaps in town or as the multitudes followed Him into the countryside, and you saw Him heal the multitudes, and you saw Him perform these great miracles. And maybe Jesus came by like He did with Peter and James and John, and He called to you and said, "Follow Me." Imagine what it would have been like to be one of those people who walk with Jesus every day. I mean, you got to hear him teach and preach every day. You got to sit at his feet and learn. You got to travel with him, and as you walked from place to place, learn from him. As you saw the multitudes gather around to listen to him, you just sat amazed and watched them be amazed by the teaching of Jesus. And you saw the miracles, and day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you got to spend that time with Jesus. And how incredible would that be? I mean, just, it's just hard to imagine. Now, some of you have had close friends that you've spent a lot of time with, and you cherish those relationships. I mean, people that you've spent a ton of time with, and you love that. Just imagine that with Jesus. And then one day, in the middle of his teaching, in the middle of telling you about the things to come and about the kingdom, he says, I'm leaving, and you can't come with me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how heartbroken those disciples were when Jesus says, I'm going away and you're not coming with? I mean, they were devastated. Amen. They had to have been brokenhearted, and he had to tell them, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, I'm going somewhere, and one day you'll get to come with me, but right now I've got to go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. And what an incredible statement for Jesus Christ himself to say, it's better for you that I'm not here so that the Holy Spirit can be here. You guys with me tonight? Anybody had a long day? A little tired? All right, just checking. It's an amazing thing to think about it, but that's exactly what Jesus said. I've got to go away. But imagine this. Jesus had limited himself to a physical body, but the Holy Spirit has no limits. You guys get that? Jesus had intentionally limited himself because he came here for a specific time, for a specific purpose. But when he ascended back up into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit in a very special way on the church. And through that, we can have the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives every day, everywhere, all of us. And it's not limited in any way, because he is not limited in any way. We desperately need the Holy Spirit of God to be working in our lives. There was a pastor who was visiting a church, and they had a big, bright red and orange banner on the wall, and it said, Come Holy Spirit, Hallelujah. And it was big, bright letters, and it was over this blazing fire, and this banner's hanging on the wall, and it was awesome. But the problem was, right underneath it, there was hanging a sign that said, Fire Extinguisher. And that's kind of the way it is sometimes in our lives. And we're going to learn a little bit about tonight. We need to be real careful not to quench the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to be careful that we don't quench the power of the Holy Spirit in his church. Amen. Number one, the assignment of the Holy Spirit. The assignment of the Holy Spirit. Letter A, he was sent by the Savior. He was sent by the Savior. We read in verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Just remember something about the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ himself sent the Holy Spirit. He is sent here by Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it would be expedient. It means in your best interest, or beneficial, or better. It's better for you that I'm not here so that the Holy Spirit can be here. Now, we know the Holy Spirit of God has always been on planet Earth, because the Holy Spirit of God is everywhere at all times. But the Holy Spirit of God has ministered on the earth in different ways in different times. And the ways he ministers in this age, the church age, was different when Jesus ascended and sent him down. Letter B, he was sent for the saved. He was sent for the saved. And there's some reasons why he came to the saved. Number one, to comfort them. To comfort them. You'll notice in our text, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the what? Comforter. I don't know about you, but my Bible has a capital C there, because it's a name, it's a title. of the Holy Spirit of God. He is the comforter. And you can see in John 14, 16, he's the comforter. In 26, he's the comforter. In John 15, 26, he's the comforter. In John 16 and verse 7, he's the comforter. And over, Jesus is telling his disciples, yes, I'm going away. And I know that breaks your heart, but the comforter is coming. And he will do that work in your life. He will comfort you. And I don't know how your life has been, but I know this, the Holy Spirit of God has been in me and empowered me in my life, and he has given me comfort in my life. Amen. It's not something that I can fully explain. I'm just here to tell you that when you're saved and you've been baptized into the Lord's New Testament church, there is a special relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. Every believer is indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. But there is a special relationship that comes through being baptized and being part of the local church. And the Holy Spirit empowers us in a special way. And the Comforter works in our lives in a great way. The Holy Spirit's job is not to keep us from trouble, but to help us through trouble. Amen. Number two, to teach them. John 14, 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, we learned a couple of weeks ago that this book, this Bible, is a spiritual book, and the things that are written in it are spiritually discerned, right? Amen. Yeah, because I've known some really intelligent people who didn't believe this book but knew a lot of facts about the book, but it made no impact on their life. They had a book understanding of it, but it did them no good. But the Holy Spirit of God teaches us and gives us wisdom, which is where we can apply the knowledge of the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit's the only one that can do that. He teaches us. So when you go to study this book, you need to ask God to help you to understand this book, and he will. Number three, to glorify Jesus. In verse 14, he said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit of God always, always, always glorifies Jesus Christ. Amen. I got some friends or acquaintances, whatever you want to call them, who believe some wrong things about Jesus. One of the reasons I know that the Holy Spirit isn't in what they're in is because they're taking Jesus down. They're taking away from who he is instead of glorifying him as God. See, any religion, any belief system that says Jesus is anything other than God, that's not glorifying Jesus Christ. It's taken away from him. And the Holy Spirit of God's not in that. The Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus the Son. Number two, the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The word attribute means inherent characteristic. In other words, it's a word that describes something else's character. And so let's talk about the attributes or the qualities that are found about the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Letter A, his attributes express deity. His attributes express deity. Now, does anybody remember what this word deity refers to? It's the fact that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God. The Holy Spirit is God. Number one, if you want to write this down on your paper, he is eternally existent. He is eternally existent. Now, we learn this about Jesus Christ, and the same thing is true of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9 verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And you'll see that Christ didn't rely on his own power, but he relied on the power of God the Father and the Holy Spirit to allow him. But you'll notice Hebrews 9:14 refers to the Spirit as eternal. The Holy Spirit of God has always existed. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. He was right there in the very beginning with God the Father and the Word. Number two, he is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. You remember that? He's everywhere at once. omnipresent. And Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, we've read this so many times to refer to God and saying that God is everywhere. Well, how is he everywhere? Through his Spirit. That's exactly what he says in Psalm 139 and verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And everything that exists in the universe, he created, so he's there. He's everywhere. And he is an amazing God. By the way, he's not just everywhere, he's every time. If you can wrap your mind around that, let me know how that works. He's above time. He's everywhere. Number three, he's omnipotent, all-powerful. You remember when the angel was telling Mary how she was going to have a child. How should this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The Holy Spirit has all power as God. Number four, he's omniscient, all-knowing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by a Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God knows everything. Number five, he imparts life. Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And the book of John tells us that the Spirit quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us life. He's the one that does that work inside of us to give us spiritual life, to give us eternal life. And you remember that word quicken means to make alive. And that's what the Spirit of God does. Number six, he authored the Scriptures. He authored the Scriptures. And before I get off of that giving life, there may be some people who disagree with me, and you know how that goes. People have the right to be wrong, right? I know that's how you feel when people disagree with you. But some people have the idea that some of the stuff we're going to learn about tonight and the way that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, my personal belief is, and I think Scripture bears this out, that the Holy Spirit has worked in different ways to empower people throughout different periods of time, in the Old Testament time and in the New Testament time, especially with the church. But I believe that the Holy Spirit of God has always indwelled every believer. Why do I believe that? Because it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that gives life. And if a man doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God in him, he can't have eternal life. Me and Brother Tom, we agree. I don't know where the rest of you are at, but so you can study that out and chew on that for a while. Number six, he authored the Scriptures. You remember 2 Peter 1:21? You remember how we studied about how God gave the Word of God and how that it's God-breathed? Well, it's actually the Holy Spirit of God that moves those men to write this book that we're studying tonight. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that gave us this book. Letter B, his attributes exhibit personality. Personality. The Holy Spirit isn't just some force. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He possesses the characteristics of a person. He has mind. The Holy Spirit thinks. He has will. He chooses things. And 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11 bears that out. If you want to look at it, 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Holy Spirit has mind or intellect. He has will, the power to choose. He has emotions. The Holy Spirit loves. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. So he has characteristics. Number two, he performs the actions of a person. He loves. He teaches. He guides. He intercedes. He speaks. He calls and he commissions. I want you to look at a couple of verses in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. And then again in Acts chapter 20, but Acts 13, 2. The church at Antioch, they're there together ministering, praying, and all those things. And the Bible says in Acts 13, 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So it's the Holy Spirit of God that called those men to the mission field. And then the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, directed the church to send them out. And by the way, that's the way mission work and church planning is to be done today. They're to be God-called, church-sent men. See, that was one of those chances for you to amen. Listen, these churches that get started, these missionaries that go out, this isn't just, you know what? That seems like that'd be a good place to go. You know, the weather's kind of nice. The cost of living isn't too bad. That's not the way that thing works. The way that works is the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of a man's heart and he calls them to go somewhere. And the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a church's heart and says, you know what? We need to get behind this man and be a part of this in sending him. And the Holy Spirit of God directs missions in the Lord's churches today, just like he always has. And if the Holy Spirit isn't directing that, then we've got a problem. How about Acts 20, verse 28? I wanted to share this with you because it's just humbling to me. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I'm your pastor today because the Holy Spirit of God made me so. I know you thought you did it because you called me. I know you thought you did it because you had Mike keep calling me and keep calling me and keep calling me. I know you thought you did it because you voted and because you do all those things. A lot of churches have that attitude that the pastor is there because they put him there, and the pastor's there because they pay him, and the pastor's there because he works for them or whatever. I want you to understand something from the Word of God. Every pastor that is in his place in the Lord's churches is there because the Holy Spirit of God put him there. If a man follows the leadership of the Spirit and a church follows the leadership of the Spirit, then a man is where he is because the Holy Spirit of God put him there. So the Holy Spirit, he loves, he teaches, he guides, he intercedes, he speaks, he calls, he commissions. And the Holy Spirit of God does all of these things because he does the actions of a person. Number three, he receives the treatment of a person. We can reverence the Holy Spirit, and we can also rebel against the Holy Spirit. We can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We can lie to the Spirit. We can resist the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit, or we can obey the Spirit. You look through all the scriptures. We can quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. So all of these things that we can do towards him because he is a person. And let me just give you a couple of references for you to look up later on. Challenge not to resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51. Acts 7:51. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And we don't want to quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. So the Holy Spirit of God is deity and he has personality. Let's move on to number three. I want to talk to you a little bit about the activities of the Holy Spirit. So what's the Holy Spirit do in the world today? We think about the past. Can anybody think of a time in the Old Testament where you saw the Holy Spirit do something? Where he was active in the Old Testament? Tell me, give me an example. All right, so the Lord divided the waters. Holy Spirit of God may have been the one to do that. What else? The Lord spoke to Noah, yeah. How did Samson deal with all those Philistines? Yeah, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Right, how was it that Samson tore the gate off the city and carried it up on the hill. I mean, you know, the estimates are in the tons, thousands of pounds. He just threw it on his shoulder and carried it up there like a sack of taters. Gideon, how about when God led the Israelites out of Egypt? You remember there was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day? We think about the dedication of the temple. When Solomon built the temple, they dedicated it. They worshiped God. They offered thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sacrifices to God. And the Holy Spirit filled the temple so much that the priests couldn't stand to minister. The Holy Spirit of God was evidenced in that time. He worked in that time. Now, did he empower everybody in the same way? No. He empowered certain men at certain times for certain things. That's the way he operated in that time. We come fast forward to the time of Christ. The Holy Spirit of God worked in people's lives then, didn't they? Amen. Who was it that led Jesus to be tempted in the wilderness? The Spirit did. The Spirit of God was involved in working in Jesus' life. And then we see at the time that Jesus ascended up into heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church on the day of Pentecost and gave gifts to those men to give signs so that they could prove that their message was from God. But then the Word of God, the Scriptures were canonized, it was finished, so those miraculous sign gifts were done away. But is the Spirit not at work in the church today because we've got the Bible? No, the Spirit is still at work in the church today. But how? How is he at work in the church today? How is he at work in the world today? What in the world is the Holy Spirit doing now? Letter A, the Holy Spirit is at work in the nations. In the nations. And I just mean by that the world. He, number one, strives with mankind, restraining sin. Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." And God tells us that he strives with man. The Holy Spirit is working in the world today to restrain sin. You think the world is bad today? Do you think the world is bad today? Amen. Well, guess what? There's going to come a day when the Lord is going to remove the church, and the way that the Holy Spirit operates in the world today is going to be removed. And this world, you think it's bad today? Just imagine what it's going to be like then. The Holy Spirit is pulling on the reins of the wickedness in this world today, and he works in the nations to strive with man. Number two, he convicts mankind. John 16, verses 8 through 11. Look at that again. "And when he is come," the Holy Spirit, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And so the Holy Spirit of God, I had a guy tell me one time, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict people today. I said, "Really?" So I opened up my Bible and I showed him the verse. I said, "Well, what does this mean then?" He said, "Oh, well, never mind." Yeah, the Holy Spirit convicts today. He convicts the world of sin because of their unbelief. He convicts the world of righteousness because Jesus isn't here for that example. The Holy Spirit of God shows people what's right and what's wrong, and of judgment because judgment is coming on the prince of this world, Satan, and all those who don't believe in Christ. Number three, he witnesses to mankind. This is exciting news, folks. When you witness, you're not witnessing alone. Acts 5:32, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." You realize that when you go out and tell somebody about Jesus, if you are praying for your friend at work to get saved and you give them a gospel tract, that the Holy Spirit of God is already at work in that? Amen. I think it's awesome to have a good soul-winning partner. It's always better for me when I've got somebody with me when I go talk to somebody about the Lord. It helps me. But man, remember that no matter whether you got another person with you or you're by yourself, the Holy Spirit of God is always there if you'll ask him to be, helping to be a witness. Letter B, the Holy Spirit is at work in salvation. The Holy Spirit is at work in salvation. I've already mentioned this a little bit, but let's dig into it a little bit more. The Holy Spirit regenerates our spirit. Titus 3 and verse 5. Titus 3 in verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. A man named Elmer Towns said this, regeneration is that work of the Spirit of God whereby men are given God's life and nature and made part of the family of God. Occurring at the moment of conversion, it lasts a lifetime and eternity to follow. It is passing from death to life. And Jesus said in John 5:24, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And the moment you repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get everlasting life. Amen. And we're excited about it. Amen. Woo! And that eternal life, that process of going from being dead and separated to alive and restored to fellowship or reconciled to God, that work is done inside of us by the Holy Spirit of God. It's a spiritual process that happens in our spirit, and it's the Spirit of God that does that work. Number two, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. Now, we're going to have a little bit of fun with this one, okay? 1 Corinthians 12:13. I need you to look at that one, please. 1 Corinthians 12:13. To you about right now is something that's highly or heavily or hotly debated, even among Bible-believing Baptists. And so I'm going to give you a couple of viewpoints here, and you can study it out for yourself. Is that okay? It is 1 Corinthians 12:13. There's some things in the Bible that I have an opinion about, but other good, godly men have different opinions about. And you're going to find that your pastor's not going to be super dogmatic about some of those things. If there's a couple of different opinions that could be right, I'm happy to share with you a couple of those opinions. You can study it out for yourself. Let me be clear. The Holy Spirit of God, the Bible is clear. It tells us multiple times. It talks about being baptized by the Spirit over and over. It gives us that. It also tells us that there's one baptism, and we'll talk about that. But whatever you come to, there's some truths about baptism we need to understand. Baptism, water baptism, does not save us. Okay? That's something we do. Now, it's an act of obedience to God. It's a picture of our salvation. But having a man dunk you in the water does not save you. It's not part of your salvation. It's a picture of your salvation. The work of being saved, of being given the gift of eternal life, is a spiritual process. And it's done entirely by grace through faith in Christ alone, not of works. And so there's some ideas that people get to when you study some of these verses, but don't let that be, don't get caught up with that. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So we need to understand that this, the word baptize, you remember, means to dip or to immerse. And so one of the viewpoints about this idea of being baptized in the Spirit is just simply this. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God does something to make you one with Christ. That this baptism of the Spirit simply is a reference to the union of your spirit with Christ. So does that make sense? It's just the union of the Spirit. In other words, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God takes you and puts you in Christ. Because that's what baptized means, to be immersed, to be put into. And so there's that idea. Another viewpoint, though, is the historical baptism view. And this viewpoint is that this is a reference to what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You remember, Jesus just told these men to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. And while they were in Jerusalem, in the upper room, they were waiting, they were praying, they were fasting, They were waiting, and then one day the Holy Spirit of God came. It looked like cloven tongues of fire. It lighted on each one of them. They began to speak with other tongues, and they were on that day, the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And some people believe that this baptism of the Spirit just is a reference to that event that took place on the day of Pentecost, where the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was a one-time event with everlasting benefits. In other words, the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost, and all the Lord's churches from that time forward are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Have I thoroughly confused everybody? Awesome. Clear as mud. Now then, so you got this historical baptism view, the empowerment of the church, and the union with Christ view, that it's the spiritual joining of the believer with Christ. And I'm just going to go ahead and give you a few references for you to study out. Romans chapter 6, and basically the first half of the chapter, but particularly Romans 6, verses 3 through 11. And if you would, let's go ahead and look at that one just for a minute. Romans 6. Romans 6, 3 through 11. Let me give you a couple of more scripture references to write down because we're going to run out of time. But Galatians 3, verses 27 to 29. Galatians 3, 27 to 29. Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13. And 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. All right, so Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can take whatever position you want to as far as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is it just simply referring to the spiritual act of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit placing us in Christ? Is it a reference to that historical event that happened on the day of Pentecost? Whatever. I don't know. I think both of those things are true, though. So in different cases, when the Bible refers to the baptism of the Spirit, maybe it's referring to that act of union of the Holy Spirit putting us in Christ. Maybe there's other times it's referring back to that historical event, but both of those things are true. And Romans 6 is telling us when you get baptized in water baptism, it's picturing that Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. It's also picturing that you're to be dead to self, you're to die to self, you're to be crucified with Christ, and you're to walk in newness of life. So it's not just a picture of what Christ did for us, it's a picture of what Christ, through the Holy Spirit, has done in us. And so baptism is both of those things. So just at the end of the day, we know the Holy Spirit of God baptizes us into that body, and he's the one that puts us into Christ. He's the one that gives us that eternal life. So study that out. Anybody have a question before I move on? The Holy Spirit seals us. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And the Holy Spirit of God seals us. We are signed, sealed, and delivered by the Spirit. We know we have eternal life because of him. The Holy Ghost indwells every believer. We know that we're the children of God because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Number five, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. There are diversities of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:4, but the same Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God still gives us talents or abilities or gifts, however you want to say it. He does that work in us still today. Letter C, the Holy Spirit is at work in sanctification. In sanctification. This is the process of God taking us and putting off the old man, putting on the new man. He will control us if we will yield to him. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. But verse 18 says, if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. He says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number two, he will teach us if we hear him. He will teach us. Number three, he will strengthen us if we submit to him. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And if you ever feel like you're not strong enough, if you're too weak, if you can't handle what it is that you're facing, the Holy Spirit of God can give you strength in the inner man. And so you've got to be yielded to him, and you've got to submit to him, and he will give you strength. Number four, he will lead us if we will follow. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you'll submit to him, yield to him, he'll lead you. Number five, he will empower. Number six, he will love through us. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Number seven, he will assure us. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John 3:24. 1 John 3:24. And number eight, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There are a lot of people out there teaching that you need to seek these different things from the Spirit, that you need to seek the anointing of the Spirit, and you need to, some people are even teaching you got to speak in tongues or you're not really saved and all kinds of nonsense. But the only thing that the Bible ever tells us in regard to that we need to seek from the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit. You and I daily need to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that by yielding to him. The more we give of ourselves to the Lord, the more he will fill us with the Holy Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit is not about us getting more of him. Being filled with the Spirit is about him getting more of us. Everybody get that? It's not about me getting more of him. No, it's about him getting more of me. And the more I yield to him, the more he fills my life. And how is it? What a picture. Be not filled with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What a picture. You ever seen somebody that was filled with wine? Somebody that's filled with wine, the wine takes over their body. Amen. That alcohol gets in their bloodstream. It goes to every part of their body. That alcohol takes over. It controls their mind. They talk different than they would normally talk. They act different than they would normally act. The alcohol has taken over. Amen. And because they've given themselves over to the alcohol has taken control of them. Right. That's a terrible thing, but what a great picture of what God wants us to do in the Spirit. When you give yourself over to the Holy Spirit of God, he will fill up every part of you. And he will take control. And you will say things that you wouldn't normally say. And you'll do things that you wouldn't normally do. But they're good things because now you're being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And where maybe you'd be scared to witness to your friend, now you're not scared. You'll go ahead and do it because you're filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Maybe you wouldn't stand up and take a stand for Christ, but now you will because the Holy Spirit of God has filled you up. Maybe you wouldn't do good to help somebody that you see in need, but now you will. Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you normally wouldn't let that hateful person, you wouldn't let them get away with that. Maybe you'd kind of put them in their place. But now you will. Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to daily seek the filling of the Spirit. Give ourselves over to him. We're going to have a verse of invitation because we want to give you an opportunity to respond. Would you stand with me, please?